Thank you very much. Matthew chapter number 6. Thank you, orchestra members, for your work in chapel. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 6. You may be seated. Thank you. I enjoy that the medley of those two songs. Thank you very much. The voice class and those girls did a great job with that. Thank you. Matthew chapter 6 is our passage of Scripture, and I'm very grateful to talk to you for a little bit. As we've talked about the 1 Timothy principles, number one, keep your doctrine sound, doctrine determines destiny, make your prayer a priority. That's what I spoke on the last time we were in chapel together. And then chapter 3 on spiritual reproduction, winning and discipling people. I've covered that this semester. Being a good testimony, your examples, as a godly Christian, because our sermon whisper, but our life, yeah, it's very loud. And really, if people don't trust you, they will not be interested in what you have to tell them. And then chapter 5 is on relationships and responsibilities. Today, I want to talk to you just for a few moments in chapel this morning about financial management. Financial management. In the book of 1 Timothy, we see that the entire chapter seems to bleed with this particular thought. And I've given you the four principles in there: working diligently, being careful who you associate with, withdraw thyself from someone who doesn't work hard, who casts doubt upon the boss and the leaders, and asking dumb questions to generate strife. He said, from such, get away from that guy. Don't make the guy that stands around and doesn't do any work and all he does and all she does is complain. Don't let them influence you. Withdraw yourself from them. The people who want to get rich quick, or they got materialism on the mind. All they're talking about is money and possessions and things, and it's not, God is not their focus. Love them, but don't spend a lot of time with them. Withdraw thyself, because it will affect you. And then live contentedly. Live somewhat frugally. I think it's very important to do that. There are some people that, and I want to say this very carefully, this is not a pattern for everybody, but some people work extra jobs, not because they have to, but because they have a greater appetite for things. Some people, they do it because that's just what needs to do to make the ends meet. And I've done that throughout my ministry occasionally, have done something, bought a car and sold it or fixed it up or did some other things to make some little extra money on the time. And probably most of us will do that. There are seasons. No financial a person's life is always like this. Finances are up and down. Every day they show you the stock. And they show you the NASDAQ, and they show you that, and it's always up and down. They've got graphs continually because nothing's the same. And finances are that way. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of money or little money. If you're a wealthy person or you're living on hand to mouth, you're going to go through seasons. And that's why the Bible says, don't put your trust in riches. They'll make themselves wings and they'll fly away. And money talks. It says goodbye. You know, and sometimes that's what happens. How many have that testimony in your life? Yeah. He's like, man, I had it, but what happened? You know? Yeah. Two flat tires and a starter going out, and your savings, your life savings is gone. You know? It's just kind of how it happens. It goes up and down. But learning to live contentedly and exercising wisdom in your spending, in your bill paying, and things of that nature are very important. We'll talk about this tonight in the service. Many of you will be working tonight, but we're going to divide up the auditorium into different sections where people can go, and I'll talk about this a little bit this evening in the general session this evening. However, the other one is to give generously, to make sure that you realize that giving is a must. Years ago, I was challenged by my precious mom. I was 15 years old when I had a question about why things were so complicated in the Wilkerson's house. My dad was so good at many things, but he was not very astute in financial matters. And I remember sitting on top of the kitchen counter one day, asking my mother and trying to get some clarity on why we had so many challenges in the Wilkerson home financially. And we were living in a rented farmhouse. $60 a month was the rent. And my dad struggled to get that taken care of on a regular basis. Rent was not his priority. And we kept having the landlord come, and it was really bothering me. And I was even 15, and I probably could have tried to help my dad pay it if I knew it was that big of a deal. But I saw my dad give just a minute before he met a landlord, gave $11.40 to a deli to get sandwiches and chips and RC colas and moon pies. And now we had the landlord, and my dad wasn't ready to pay him, and he gave him an excuse and told him to come back on Friday, and he'd have it together then. And I felt so embarrassed for myself, for my mom, for my dad, and felt bad for the landlord, because I knew that we just gave the deli what needed to go to the landlord. And we chose and picked. We didn't make that a priority, and it really bothered me. My mother put her hands on my knees that day. She looked me in the eye, and she said, John, if you don't figure out a few of these matters from God's word and from wise people, your kids are going to ask the same thing to your wife one day. Your dad is a great man. I want you to be just like him in so many ways. He loves sinners. He's a soul winner. He loves me. He loves you like no dad could ever love a son. He is one of the greatest men on the planet, but this is an Achilles heel in our home. It causes us trouble. And your dad's not a bad guy. He was raised in an alcoholic's home, hand to mouth, run away from alcohol, run away from his mom and his dad just to kind of live on the streets and keep themselves fed and occupied. He just never got out of that childhood challenges. So you need to figure it out. You're the oldest boy in our family, and I want to encourage you to get in the book of Proverbs, find books on this, and study men who have some wisdom in this area. Well, I did not know all was going on when I was 15 years old, but I tried to do that. I've not done it successfully. I am no financial guru. But it seems like wherever I have went, I have had financial challenges, both personally and corporately in the ministries I've gone to. And I think I go back to that day. And I wanted to share with you a few things that you need to consider. Now, money's on all of our brains. And we've talked about it many times before. And it's very popular to talk about because it really gets everyone's attention. If I told you there was a $50 bill taped under someone's seat today, some of you are starting to feel right now. See, you're trying to find if it's yours. It just gets everybody's attention. Sure. Whatever. And if I brought up $100 bills, I'm going to give it out. Everybody in the world is sleeping. They'd wake up. They say, hey, well, $100 bill, where? It gets our attention. It does, and it's understandable. Because where a man's treasure is, there his. It's a hard issue. You could ask me lots of questions, but if you ask me, and I would answer you most many questions, but if you ask me, hey, John, you know, how much money do you have in your bank? Or, you know, how much do you get paid every week? Or, you know, what does so-and-so give you for this? Or, you know, how much do you pay for your house? You start asking me all finance questions. All of a sudden, I'd get real nervous about you. I'd just say, hey, man, you're getting kind of personal. And all you did is went from talking about my kids, my education, my address, birthdays, to my money. And I'm not so sure I'd just share that with everybody. Now, if Linda asked me those questions, I would share it. Because Linda has something you don't have. She has my heart. Yeah. There's an openness there. Oh, doesn't that make you just feel fuzzy-wuzzy? She has my heart, and there's an openness with her. She asks me how much we get paid or what I did with this or how much we spent on that. I just tell her because we're on the same page in that way. But it's a heart matter. We just don't open our heart to everyone. And Jesus, in the greatest message I think that was ever preached and recorded for us, it was Jesus, the preacher who preached it. He began in Matthew chapter 5, and he concludes in Matthew chapter 7. It's a Sermon on the Mount, and he gives people a new way of thinking. He opens up with the Beatitudes, blessed, blessed, blessed. These are people who are blessed, and you listen to that list, and you say, no. When people persecute you, you're blessed? When people are poor in spirit? Come on. It doesn't make sense, because God's way up is sometimes down. And what he thinks is important, the world doesn't think is important. His value system is different. He started explaining his value system to his disciples. And right in the middle of this message, I mean, right smack, you couldn't get more in the middle of a message than we got right here. Jesus begins to talk about finances. Look, if you would please, in Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse number 19. And the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So here he is preaching the message, and he talks about lead us not to temptation. He talks about prayer. He talks about fasting. He talks about giving. So many things that he discusses, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So many things. Now he says, now when it comes to your treasures, don't lay them up here. Lay them up in heaven where it doesn't get consumed. It doesn't get corrupted and doesn't get captured by thieves. See, everything in this world that you and I can acquire is consumed, corroded, corrupted, or captured. You can have the nicest car, someone can steal it. The nicest car you could buy today in 20 years will be a piece of junk. It's going to get old quick. The most beautiful dress girls you could pick out in 15 years, you're not going to be wearing it most likely. And you won't want to wear it, and people say, ooh, that is so old-fashioned. That's unbelievable. Everything kind of ages and gets old and corrupts and can be consumed by fire. Brother Tom Olson, our dear friend and a cousin to him, his company caught on fire this morning at 4 o'clock this morning. And I was just so brokenhearted to hear about that and realize that all the challenges that he's going to go through. And just got back from a mission trip last night to find that situation. But he sits there and stands outside of his business watching flames and watching things that he loves and invested in his life investment to some extent go up in smoke. But he's realizing, you know, everything in this world is going to be consumed. It's going to be captured. It's going to be corroded or corrupted. It just gets, that's the way it is. And Jesus is telling us something we should probably already know, but we don't always remember. He says, so don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. But look at verse number 20 if we can. But lay up for yourselves treasures in where? Heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he goes on to say, he says, instead, he's not opposed to investment. Matter of fact, he says, no, he says, I you got to keep depositing. You know, he wants you to save. He wants you to do things. We said, don't get involved about doing it here. Do it in heaven. God is not anti-investment. He is very, very, very obviously pro-investment. He said, but don't put it in something that's not going to last forever. He said, make sure you think about your time, your talents, but especially your treasure. Some people will say, you know, I don't have any money, so I'm just going to tithe my time. Okay, you can't do that at the expense of your treasure. Okay, all of us have money. Everybody, if you're not tithing, it's not because you don't have money. Okay, you have some money, and you should have tithed off. If you don't tithe off it, then God is very, very strong about that. And you'll find it play out in your behavior, because tithing, the first reason for tithe is to provide for God's work and his workers. That's practically why. But it's far more important what he does on the inside. You can find in Deuteronomy chapter 14, 20-23. Tithing, honest giving of tithing, you take a penny out of every dime, a dime out of a dollar, when you let it go and give it to God, whether you do it electronically or you do it in an envelope and put it in there, when you do that, you're going to find that you're going to exchange whatever you would give to the Lord, one-tenth of what you give to him, for his presence in your life. You know what? Life is very lonely when you live without God's presence. You make a lot of dumb decisions. In all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge him. And then what he does? What does he do? Yeah, anybody want to fumble around life without God's help? Acknowledge, another word for that is to fear the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You don't do as many wrong things when you know who's with you. The Bible says by the fear of the Lord is confidence, is strong confidence. It almost sounds like it's fear and confidence, how they go together. Well, because confidence does not come because of who I am or who you are. It comes because who we know is with us. We're always more confident when we have others around us, but especially we have someone who's very strong around us, and that's God. You know, when you know God is with you, then you can have confidence to face problems with calmness or with confidence in him, not in ourselves. We elevate our behavior. You know, someone who learns to, who gets the fear of God, that means they know God's with them. They're going to be much more aware of what's going on around them. They're going to be much more careful of their behavior, how they act. Someone who steals something in a store, before they steal, they just walk in there and put it in their pocket. They look around and try to find, is there anyone over here, anyone over there? And they'll take it and put it in their pocket, thinking no one can see them. But there's an all-seeing eye All things are naked and open to the eyes of whom we have to do. The ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his going. But when you know that all-seeing God is with you, well, you behave yourself. You're not going to try to do something questionable with your boyfriend or your girlfriend when you know God is with you. You're not going to be looking at perverted things that bring great guilt and things when you know the presence of God. And I'm not saying if you tithe, it's a panacea for all problems. But it's a training wheels. And God grows your tithe, but you and I need to grow our giving. Jesus is saying, look, you got to invest, but don't put all your eggs in earth's basket. You got to put it in heaven, because there it goes into eternal blessings. One thing I love about the offering is when I let it go and I give it to God, it crosses eternal barriers. That goes into God's hand. Anything I give to God instantly becomes immortal. It has eternal value. What I give to me, I got to do it. We got to wear clothes. We've got to drive cars. You've got to put fuel in our vehicle. You've got to live somewhere. You've got to eat something. It's just part of living. At the same time, whatever I give to me is going to end here. What I give to God, it goes into eternal accounts. And he's telling them that. He said, look, everyone has two treasuries. You have two banks, one here and one there. You've got one here, and here's a secret of banking. You only have money where you have put deposits. Okay? If you have money in your bank here, it's because you put a deposit there. If you have money in your bank there, it's because you put a deposit. And this is an inside, a Christian has an inside track to investment with someone who lives in heaven. Where is Jesus right now, according to the Bible? He's in heaven. And he says, when you get here, you're going to want treasure. You're going to need treasure. You're going to be desiring that. You're going to want to make sure you do that. That's why people who are devoted to Christ are trying. And by the way, wherever you put your treasure, your heart goes. It doesn't just say where your heart is. Where a man's treasure is, there's heart. Also, it tells where it's going to go. People who stop giving to the Lord oftentimes lose a heart for the Lord. People who stop giving to God through the local church lose a heart for their church. People who stop investing in their spouse usually start losing a heart for their spouse. Why I love marriage retreats, and some of you who will get to go in years to come, and you men especially, the reason people don't go to marriage retreat, large in part, is because men do not think it's valuable enough to go. And the men, take a day off work. If I'm going to spend that much money, I can go to Disney World, you know, or we can go to Hawaii, or whatever. They'll think of all kinds of things. But you know where your investment is, your heart will be also. Learn to make investments in time. Oftentimes people get upset with their spouse and they stop making investments and just start greedily holding on to their affection. They hold on to their affirmation. They hold on to their attention, and they don't give it to their spouse and expecting that that's going to fix their problem. It doesn't fix their problem because it detaches their heart away. But especially in the area of treasure, Jesus said, look, you have got to remember, you've got two treasuries. Yes, you have one on earth, but he's saying, Jesus, the master investor, says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Whatever you do, don't forget that. And when you give your treasures in heavenly things, you can set your affections on things that are above. You don't do that just because you want to. Part of it is learning to give. And God will grow your tithe, but you and I need to grow our giving. You know, if he gives you more, you tithe more. Make sure you do that. But if you learn, if God helps you, you can see this. You can see, God, what would you give through me that you would not give to me? What could I show my love and my gratitude? Because tithing shows our honesty and integrity with God. So if God gives me $12, I give him $1.20. If he gives him $15, I give him $1.50. If he gives me $150, I give him $15. Whatever, that because it belongs to him. It's holy unto the Lord, okay? But why couldn't I say, I want to give him, if he gives me 15, I'd like to give him two. $1.50 because it belongs to him, and 50 cents because of how good he is to me. See, our giving shows our love and our gratitude to God. Now, some folks are a little squirrely. They don't want to put it in an envelope. I don't want anyone else to know. You don't know your Bible. That is not wrong to do that. And it's very helpful for you. I want my kids to start as soon as they can. And every year in January, we sit down and our kids say, "Hey, Dad, I didn't know this." I had one of our children recently, and you know, before they can even drive, you know, gave $880 to the Lord last year. And you know, it's just consistently. I was studying at a desk. I was doing a conference call the other day about 9 o'clock at night, and I was using my son's desk, and I saw his faith promise commitment card, $13. Can't even drive a car yet. But given every week, 13, for our son went home to be with the Lord, he was given $15 a week to missions. I thought to myself, you know, I'm so glad. And I'm so glad when he went to heaven, he had, in his little 17-year time, he made that. And remember, God can take your little and make it much. But you have two treasuries. And that leads you to two perspectives. And our time is going by quickly. But listen to me, let you just read it, if you would please, and I'll just comment on it. We'll need to continue. But look at chapter 6. Where your treasure is, your heart be also. Verse 22, and the light of the body is the what? Once again, everybody read it with me. The light of the body is the what? Eye. What does your eye help you do? See, right? And if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you can see clearly there, your whole body. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light of this in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? See, your view and your perspective of finances is determined. It is going to be very, everything in life is going to be somewhat scheduled by money. We had to think about this. I saw one of our staff members recently make a decision that it was costly to them, but it was the principle was more important than the money. It's very important. But your perspectives, how you see life is going to largely be seen through the lenses of how you see finances. Some people don't want to go into ministry because I'm going to starve to death. I'll never be able to pay that. I'm not going to work for that person. I can't do that. I can't be teaching school. I'll starve. And you know, the truth of the matter is, when you work for God, you don't work for a school. You don't work for a ministry. If I depended upon a ministry, and there were times in my ministry, not to be unkind, but you know, I had to wait 2 weeks to get paid. It happened to me a few times. You know what it taught me? Hang on a second. God can meet my need in those 2 weeks. There's times I went to my pastor and I knew he was stressed out. I said, "Look, pastor, if you're struggling with that, you know, then hold my check." Now, I had to do some things to be frugal in that situation. And I thank God as a pastor, God's been helping me. And there's been a few times when I was going through some difficult times with our churches that I withheld my check, but I try not to do that with anyone else in the ministry, but I've done that several times. And sometimes you have to do what you got to do. But everything will be viewed financially. You look through certain lenses. And he says, you got to remember, you got two treasuries, two bank accounts here and there. You have two ways you look at things. And that really is, you look at them through clarity, or you look at them through darkness. How many would like to drive your car in the nighttime without headlights? No. You want to have a clear vision. Have you ever tried to drive a car when it was frosted over? It's dangerous because you don't have clarity. Two perspectives. And then the last thing is two masters. He said you can't serve finances, money, and Jesus. You'll grow to love the one and despise the other, or grow to love this one, despise the other. You can't serve God and money. So these are general principles, and I probably could spend another eight chapels talking about specific things. But if you could just get in your heart, "Lord, this is important. Give me wisdom in my finances to think like you think, to lay up eternal treasures, to evaluate things. And remember, everything you have is not yours. It's the Lord." So you ought to ask yourself, "Lord, I just got this $200. What should I do with this?" And here's what he's going to tell you. Take $20 and return it back to me. That's what he's going to tell you. He's already told us that. So you spend that whole $200. You get a gift card for $25 and you spend it all. And you don't take $2.50 to church with you on Sunday. You've got an increase that you need to deal with. But then you got to say, okay, what is my most priority? What's my priority? And now who do I owe? And the Bible says, withhold not something when your neighbor's with you and you have ability to give it to him. Don't hold it back and say, I'll give it to you when it's more comfortable for me, when I have more security. If you owe it, you should pay it. That should be a priority. And there's lots of other things. You look in the Bible, 1,800 times you'll see finances, money, and possessions are mentioned. So I think you'll find a lot of times and a lot of information that God gives us on that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these young people. I certainly want them to have the financial wisdom that comes from your word, and I want to get it too, and I need it. Please help me. I sure love these young people, and I know so much of their future is going to be determined by their approach to their treasuries, their perspective, and their masters. And I want to get in that same plane and I want to practice something I would preach to them. But help me. Help us all to see things from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.